I'm Brady Safranik, sitting in for Mark Wilson. And joining me in studio now is Johnson County Emergency Management Coordinator, Marilyn Connolly. Marilyn, thank you for taking the time here this morning.
Good morning, Brady.
And Marilyn, we'll talk about a couple of different things. One of the things is you guys have a plane crash exercise that's coming up Saturday the 16th. Tell us a little bit about this. What exactly is this going to be?
All right. This is our required annual full-scale exercise. And a full-scale exercise is where we put a scenario together, and then all of our first responders respond to that scenario as if it were a real-time incident.
So you say this is an annual thing, so is it a different exercise each year?
Well, if something happens during the year that would meet the qualifications for a full-scale exercise, then I write it up if it's real-time.
Okay.
I didn't have one this fiscal year to be able to write up an after-action report for a real-time incident. So,
which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's good for the community, yeah. Certainly. But federally, Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, kind of have these different things they like to focus on for different funding cycles. And this funding cycle, the big push was mass fatality, mass casualty. So I have to have a three-year training and exercise calendar put together. And so for this year, we focused on mass fatalities. So we had a training in Gillette for mass fatality response for rural communities. And we had coroners and EMS people and funeral home directors were invited to that, to come to that training. And then we did a workshop, and then we did a tabletop exercise on the mass fatality, and now the full scale. So we don't just pick a full scale and say, okay, everybody, let's just see if we know. So we have a progressive kind of a system out
okay.
there. And usually we'll do a hazardous material exercise is what we've typically done in the past. So this is a little bit different for us. It'll take place at the airport. So if you see
a plane crash,
if
it's
you
just
see,
you guys?
Yeah, if you just ignore that. It's just us.
So you're not actually going to crash a plane, but are you going to have a crashed plane there?
I have to simulate the crashed plane.
Okay.
I'll have
we have a little remote control plane right here. You see it in the office there? Maybe we could use that.
That would work. I have a simulated plane fuselage to use for the... It's not a plane, but it'll work.
Sure.
It's got seats in it, and it'll suffice for the exercise. But if you see smoke that day coming from the airport...
That's just you guys?
That's just... the smoke would be between 9 and noon.
Okay.
So.
And that's Saturday the 16th.
Saturday the 16th.
Okay.
And I've got things to make smoke. I haven't used them before, so I don't know for sure how much smoke it's going to make.
Okay.
It might make a lot.
So we'll see.
So that'll be interesting to find out.
It could be very interesting depending on which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
Too.
I just don't want the DEQ calling me afterwards.
So you talk about simulating this plane crash, and I've heard that you're then going to have bodies actually laying around. Are you still looking for volunteers to play dead people?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. So if anybody wants to.
I really wanted to do that. I'm actually DJing a wedding that day. I do that in my spare time.
Oh, that's so boring.
So I'm gonna be working that day. But otherwise, I would be one of your dead people.
I have quite a few people signed up. But the idea is to have a large amount of deceased. And this plane in our exercise has 30 passengers, including the crew members.
Okay.
And then in order for Homeland Security to help cover the costs of the exercise, I have to have a terrorist connection to this exercise.
Okay.
So there'll be a little terrorist piece in there to cover that.
Terrorist bomb the plane?
Something
like that.
Well, I just can't give it away.
So but is this something the public can come watch?
Not really.
You'd rather they stayed away from the airport at that time.
Yeah.
Let these guys do
their
job.
Because we don't know who's in. Then if we get a lot of viewers up there, then I don't know who's doing what.
Gets a
what.
Little confusing.
Yeah. They did a full scale at the airport in Gillette a while back, and one of the volunteers that was a victim, not a deceased, but one of the patients that got transported to the hospital, made the comment about something about pipe bomb. Well, the people in the exercise participating didn't know if that was part of the exercise or not.
Oh, okay.
So they went and said to the exercise facilitator, what do we do? Because she said...
Somebody heard pipe bomb and
so,
they're starting to wonder if there's actually somebody left
so
a pipe bomb.
The exercise facilitator said treat it as if it were real. So they went and got her. She was a volunteer. They went and got her, handcuffed her, and put her in a police car for the exercise because things can go a little.
Right.
These things that you don't count on happening can happen, and that was one of them. And then afterwards, everybody thought it was pretty funny, but.
But during, maybe not so much.
During, it's like, what do we.
Sure.
So we. People that are observers. I have vests, and the people that, because I bring in facilitators or evaluators, so I have people identified in vests that either are observing or evaluating. I have to have a safety officer up there to make sure we're not, something doesn't happen that can get us, somebody hurt.
Sure.
So there'll be probably about 100 people.
And that's plenty.
All the way around, different times, because the hospital will be exercising their plans. They'll receive a number of multi-trauma injured people that they'll have to triage, treat, and figure out how to disperse.
Oh, so some of the volunteers actually get taken by ambulance to the hospital, then through all of their procedures as well. Okay.
We have I have David King from Gillette coming over that's going to do the makeup, and they call it moulage.
Oh, so they're actually going to
put they'll be hurt.
Blood and stuff like that?
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty neat,
we try
actually.
To make them look as real as we can.
Yeah.
And then the EMS ambulance will come. Fire will be there. Law enforcement will exercise the emergency action plan for the airport.
Well, it's good to get the word out that this is happening, because people, and I'm sure it'll still blow up on social media, like, what's going on at the airport in Buffalo?
Probably.
You know, because you know, not everybody listens to the radio or reads the newspaper or that sort of thing, so not everybody knows exactly what's going on. So I'm sure that'll pop up on Saturday, like, hey, what's going on? So it's nice to get the word out about this, so people are aware when they hear the sirens and they see the smoke and all that stuff on Saturday. Saturday the 16th between, what did you say, 9 and noon?
Yes, that's when most of the action will take place.
Okay, so that's it's an exercise.
Because then once the ambulance crews, they get their patients triaged and transported, then the coroner piece kicks in with the fatalities, and then they have to do some things with those people that are playing deceased.
Have you done one of these plane crash exercises before?
Nope.
First time?
First one time for the plane crash
scenario. Sure.
We've done other big, the last one we did was about big exercise was about 2-3 years ago now with the National Guard. So I had all the National Guard come in and they set up their operating center and participated in that. We had probably 200 people here for that one.
Okay.
Took me a while to get recovered from that.
I'm sure.
But they have a way of growing, because then we have what's called our Regional Response Healthcare Coalition, which is a makeup of five counties with their hospitals, EMS, long-term health care facilities, that they're participating in this exercise this year. So there'll be contacts made with all four of those other counties, and it just grows, because then people go, oh, you know, we have a requirement to do this. Can we tag on to your, sure, because they're a lot of work, and people really don't. It's a pain,
I bet.
For the responders, too, because they're busy. They're giving up a Saturday.
Sure.
And they've been really good about it, because it is good practice. It's kind of intense, but you can't do anything that's going to hurt somebody. So you really get to practice some of those
skills. Nice
to
make your mistakes when it's for pretend.
Yeah, and then we go back and we have a talk about it and say, okay, how did we do? Are there some things we need to improve on? Did we do this well? How did our communications work? So it's a good thing.
You know, you mentioned that you haven't done this specific one before, and you mentioned that Gillette had done this one recently. Do you then get in contact with them to kind of get some pointers on how to go about setting this thing up?
I get as many pointers from whoever I can get them from, because it's kind of an art putting those together, and I don't have that.
Are other people in your position in other counties, you know, willing to help out? If someone calls you, I'm sure you're willing to help them out. And vice versa.
We go to different counties and help with their exercises, because we pick up things that we can learn from. And there's some emergency coordinators across the state that are fantastic at putting these exercises together. They've gone to school and learned how to be a master of exercise design, they call it. And there's so many different parts to it. So I'm just kind of trying to, I'm exercise design 101.
So taking it kind of down a different path here recently, yesterday was like kind of the first time I could look to the west and see the mountains in a while. We've seen a lot of smoke in the area, especially with winds had been coming out of the north. Now, I know a fire had been burning there, or maybe still is, but they have it somewhat contained north of Sheridan, around the Sheridan area. I'm sure some of the smoke we saw was from that, but was most of it still coming from Montana, where basically half that state is on fire right now?
Most of it was Montana.
Yeah. That's kind of what I figured. I heard some people saying, wow, it's a lot of smoke coming from that fire in Sheridan. I was thinking, with the winds coming out of the north, probably most of that is actually traveling all the way from Montana.
They get those, when those cool fronts come in, then it just really pushes that smoke this direction. And when the timing was such, and maybe it's because of fire weather behavior, I don't know that much about that, but seemed like those fires would just blow up on them, and then that cold front would come in, and then boom, push all that down our way.
Well, and we had such strong winds Sunday, and especially Monday, early in the day especially, it was really blowing. And I'm sure, obviously containing a fire is hard enough, but then when you're fighting winds like that, I'm sure it spreads quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. That smoke was, the air quality wasn't that great. So for people that have, when that kind of smoke rolls in like that, if you have any kind of
asthma or something like
issues,
that.
Lung issues, it's best. It's not good for anybody, really, but if you have pre-conditioned things, it's best just to try to stay out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, things could be worse. You could be in South Florida right now. They're apparently, I was hearing something on national news, and everyone's obviously fleeing north. Can't go east or west from Florida, so all you can do is go north. They're saying gas stations are running out of gas, places are running out of food along the path. Mm-hmm. So, there's definitely devastation happening in the northern part of the country and the southern part of the country, and they're getting hit pretty good.
It's pretty interesting right now. we're living kind of in a nice little...
Very nice. North Korea wants to nuke us. They're not nuking Wyoming. You know, they're going to nuke one of the coasts, which is where they're getting drilled with hurricanes and everything else. We're sitting pretty good here.
Well, yes, we are. But the one thing that I... You know, we have to do these threat and hazard risk assessments every year. And every year, the one that keeps bugging me for our area is a long-term power outage. And it doesn't matter whether, I mean, it can be caused from a severe winter storm, or it can be caused from a tornado, like we had the tornado thingy this summer in KC. Or it can be caused from somebody else on the grid having a problem that just affects us. And I think that that's one of our most real potential problems in our community is a power outage for a number of days. Out in the county, people are kind of used to that in the wintertime. Seems like if we get a bad storm, the power goes down. In town, not so much.
Yeah, and if you have electric heat, you know, now you've got more problems.
So I really want people to think about what would you do and how to be prepared. September's National Prepared Month, so let's just use September to think about and try to prepare yourself for what you would do if there was a long-term, and I'm talking, to me, 3 days without power is quite a while.
That especially in the wintertime.
Would really affect things.
Especially,
but
again, if your
heat is
electric.
What if it was 2 weeks?
It's a long time.
What if it was a month? Think about how far back in years you would go if there
was
no power.
Well, now
I'm
going to go buy a bunch of canned food because you got me thinking I'm going to have to go a month
without. I want people to really seriously think about it.
And you know, it is a good thing that you bring that up, being that September is National Preparedness Month. And I'm assuming then that's why this is the month you do things like this exercise you're going to be doing on the 16th?
Well, the reason we're doing it, I usually try to do these exercises in June or July. Okay. But law enforcement had so many things to do this summer.
Summer's a busy time around
that
here.
That picking a Saturday...
Hey, we need to steal all your officers on Saturday.
It was just too much. So I got him to agree to September 16th, which was a little iffy, too, because of hunting season starts. But then if you go past September and into October, then you're into the real major hunting time.
Right.
Then it's November. It's cold out. You can't do the exercise because you're outside and you can't get people to...
Sure, you're not going to find many volunteers to lay on the ground for
a
couple hours.
So I'm hoping that September 16th will be nice weather.
Yeah, should be great.
Yeah.
So once again, we talked about coming up on Saturday the 16th, a plane crash exercise going on at the airport in Buffalo. So again, that's about 9 to noon where the most action is going to happen. If you see smoke, hear sirens, that sort of thing coming from that area, it is an exercise.
And Brady, let me remind people that the hospital will be participating, but the clinic, the hospital, the ER be taking people as usual, so it won't interfere.
The ER won't say, oh, we can't take you.
Right.
Have your emergency in about 3 hours.
Right. They'll be open for business.
Sure, okay? Sure.
And so will the airport.
Sure. So, again, that's coming up on Saturday the 16th. We chatted a little bit about, you know, the smoke we've seen in the area here, and of course, September being National Preparedness Month. Talking with Johnson County Emergency Management Coordinator Marilyn Connolly. Marilyn, thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thanks, Brady.
This is Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM, KBBS.